What's going down, podcast listener? Welcome back to the Symbiosis Now podcast. I'm Tyler Colombaro, and I'm the host of the show. And on this show, we like to have a good conversation. Every episode, guaranteed. All in hopes of inspiring you to get out there and have your own open conversations with a friend, a family member, or maybe even your enemy. Each episode, we star a special guest where we have an in-depth, action-packed, often intellectual, spiritual, practically psychedelic, and all-inclusive types of conversation. And we have a good fucking time with it. So folks, you can find us online. We're the Symbiosis Now Network, where there's some links to the podcasts, plural podcasts, because we have a couple others underneath the network blanket. And without further ado, let us voyage into the yonder of conversation with our very special guest on the Symbiosis Now podcast. Folks, we are here with Brad Gonzalez, who has a bachelor's degree in history out of Fresno State, CSU. He's the lore master himself. We talk historically on this podcast, and the last time that Brad was on here was episode number 147, History Lessons from the Lore Master with Brad Gonzalez. And that went so good, and every time we are on here, bro, we talk, we have fun with the history. We decided to do a spinoff. So we now have a podcast where it is Brad and I, and we are talking about historical events, happenings, generations, time periods, different things that happen culturally. We're going to be talking about it. And we have three for sure episodes out. You got to go check it out. It's called History Lessons from the Lore Master. And the Lore Master's Brad. And he likes to talk history. And he knows his facts. He knows his geography. He knows his history. And I like to just ask questions most of the time. But I think it's good questions to ask. But we're here with the man, the myth, the legend, Brad Gonzalez, the lore master, for yet another episode on the Symbiosis Now podcast.
What's poppin', everybody? I know it's been a long time since my previous appearance on Symbiosis Now, because, you know, I was busy along with the spinoff and whatnot, but now we are back and we are ready to get talking here.
And we want to talk about a lot of different things, do we not?
Oh, yes. We got to talk about
On our History Lessons from the Lore Master podcast, we'll talk about pirates. We'll talk about the Holodomor. We'll talk about the Cold War. And sometime in the future, we'll talk about the space race. I'm hoping that'll happen.
Right? Oh, yes. That'll be a good one to talk about.
So any of those episodes that we've already done, go check them out.
Yeah.
You know, if you like the idea of the Cold War, or you don't know what it is and you want to know, go to History Lessons from the Lore Master. If you want to learn about pirates, not just watch Pirates of the Caribbean, if you want to go learn about what that time period was kind of like and why it was that way and how it worked, and go check out History Lessons from the Lore Master.
Yes, and if you want to learn where, you know, where the guy who wrote the One Piece manga got his ideas from, watch the piracy episode, okay?
Yes, which is episode number two, technically, because we have an intro and then a number two episode. But here. And I know the last time you were on, we talked about Russia and Ukraine. And I think the time before that, we talked about Russia and Ukraine, because it's been an ongoing issue, not just as recent as it became culturally popular. Mm. I'm going to say it like that. Before then, there was a lot of things that went on. And we've discussed a lot of those things that have happened on this podcast. Uh-huh. I think it's very enlightening. Go check out episode number 147 and all the other ones with Brad in them. Yeah. But on this episode, we're in... let's call it March. We're at the end of February. When this episode comes out, it's March 2024.
Yes.
And so now the Russia-Ukraine conflict has heightened. Mm-hmm. And no one's pulling back the fucking reels here. So where are we at with it? What's new? Something recently happened.
Oh, yeah. A bunch of stuff went popping down. Let me just open some articles really quick. But before that... after the previous episode, during the summer, Ukraine launched their little counteroffensive, which was long anticipated, to take back some annexed land from the Russians. And this happened around the time when I was in Tennessee, actually, when it was going down, too. And Ukraine has found some gains and some losses here and there. So it was going good for them for the past couple of months right there until recently when... it started to become a stalemate, and then the Russians were starting to fight back a bit more against the Ukrainian counteroffensive. So yeah, they've been going back and forth, and we've been giving more weapons. The United States has been giving more weapons, Europe especially, weapons, armor, vehicles, all that good shit, you know.
Right.
Although as of right now, aid to Ukraine is kind of in jeopardy because there are some people in Congress who just, you know, feel war exhaustion from what's going on and want to focus on our own issues and global issues, and they want to focus on the border or something, or homeless stuff, you know, just trying to...
Or Israel Palestine, right?
Like, yeah. That whole deal, right? Oh yeah, that's another thing going on too, which also has some ramifications, you know, with the Russian Ukraine conflict as well. Especially, you know, how there are some anti-Putin Russians who sought refuge in Israel because some of them have dual citizenship, and when the current conflict broke out, you had Russian state TV mocking them, saying, "Oh my gosh, y'all escaped Russia to escape war. Now you might get drafted into the Israeli military." Ha ha ha. Even though that's not how it works, though. By the way, I don't think dual citizens are able to serve in the military over there too. But you know, I'm kind of digressing right there. So yeah. So basically, the world is pretty much in shambles right now.
It's so wild to think about how, like, when we learn in history class, in like grade school, we'll take it, right?
Yeah.
And you hear about all the nations of the world and how they had conflicts at times, and how, you know, World War One and World War Two specifically, we'll use those examples, had this overlapping occurrences going on in different parts of the globe, which made it a global concern, right?
Yes.
And right now, we're experiencing that kind of level of warfare, yes. Global concern, different
yes.
parts that are very tense in the world that arguably people need access to, which also puts a dent in the plans for the future of anyone that's involved with these areas. Mm-hmm. But also there's concern because if for whatever reason too many of these opposite simultaneous occurrences,
yes.
if they become connected, that is absolute disaster, right? Yes. Like, that's how things lead to literal world war, you know, where it means it's all hands on deck, bro. Everybody's down to die for some dumb fucking reason. And I feel like we're kind of just, you know, on the edge of chaos like we are every day, all the time. But really, with this war situation, it feels like that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, every time there's like a conflict going on in some part of the world, you have concerns, especially if it's between two powers, whether it be the United States, Russia, China, all that stuff. Oh my gosh, does this mean World War III is going to happen? And over on Twitter, or X as it's called now, you have World War III trending every single time. I mean, I'm sure you've been on Twitter and you've seen World War III trending, dude.
I mean, but, I get what you mean, though. Like, it is a popular discussion, for sure.
Yeah, like, you know, it trended during the North Korea crisis in 2017 up until 2018. Trended, you know, every time the United States retaliated against Syria with the gas attacks because the Russians were there, too, helping Syria during their civil war because they asked the Russians for some help right there. Happens every time when something happens in the Middle East, whether it be with Iran, Israel, Palestine, the Saudis, especially given the Saudis and the Iranians really hate each other. That's like the biggest regional rivalry out there. Like, believe me, I could see why, because if anything happens with the Saudis and the Iranians, our oil supply is going to be effed right there, because, you know, Saudi Arabia produces a lot of oil, you know, that's area is oil rich too, you know.
Oil is so interesting too, because it has to be transported.
Yeah.
It is a very physical input, right? Yeah. Where it literally has to be moved from one place where you're drilling it to another. Mm-hmm. And that itself suggests how heavy, literally and metaphorically, how heavy the concern is if there's no oil. Because there's one thing if there's option to drill for it still, but if you can't access it, meaning physically, because it needs to physically go to the pump and physically pump into your car or whatever machine you're trying to power with oil products, gasoline. And if you can't do that, it's kind of fucked. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because we walk that line, You know, and everyone says, oh, you know, they've been in cahoots with Iran, and then they've been trying to take them down at the same time because they want their oil. You know, we hear all these things over decades of mamadas, as in Espanol, bullshit. What the fuck? Like, it's just like some rumor, some kind of gossip, right? Well, that's not that important, because the reality is if we were to somehow figure out how we don't necessarily need to power machines all the time, we'd be in a better place. But we're not there yet. If we were there, fuck them. Have your fucking pumped up product that's physical and shit. We can power cars with solar or this and that or whatever, but we're not there yet. And I think a lot of the youngsters specifically think that we're there already, and we're not there already. So we still do rely primarily upon the oil industry to basically be the powerhouse of the entire system that we live in, you know? It's wild to think, but it's kind of the foundation of a lot of things. I mean, all public transport, yeah, some of it's natural gas, but that's still arguably a petroleum product in this weird way. And then when you have, well, you know what I mean, because they can frack for it and all this kind of shit. But then you have electricity. Well, electricity's cool, but we're powering electricity on what? Burning coal mostly, some hydro plants, some wind plants, but mostly burning coal. And so where do we get the coal from? Are we still mining for coal a lot in the States? Or do we ship a lot of coal over just to burn? I don't understand it, and I think most people don't, but you have to think about these questions when people bring up oil and it being a concern and almost a resource to go to war over, right? Yeah. It's important. That's why it's so important. It's not just like, oh, they want their oil. It's like, dude, because it carries so much weight with it. Yeah,
not to mention that if any conflict in the Middle East were to break out, especially if it's between the big two regional powers that are vying for influence, Saudi Arabia and Iran, yeah, they could use oil as leverage or even as a bargaining chip too.
Oh, yeah.
Especially how the United States relies on oil over there too as well. Not to mention that, you know, believe it or not, the Saudis are actually U.S. allies, and we have a military base there too.
Yeah, and also,
and we also have one in Jordan as well.
At some point, I feel stupid saying this because I really don't know all the ins and outs, but I know that Saudi had at some point something to do with the petrodollar, right?
Yeah, that's somehow something I haven't really looked into.
But it's back somehow through the Saudis.
Yeah.
So that's what's very interesting, because the dollar became no longer based off of silver. It became based off of oil at a certain point.
Yeah.
And that is so wild to think, dude. But the physicality of something does matter. Because when we go to crypto and we realize that tomorrow, if they say that doesn't mean anything, it's not worth anything, then we're fucked. Because at least if you have something to back something, right? Or is it all just a mind fuck to get us working for some kind of currency, some kind of number, some numbers game, because numbers get ugly real quick. I don't know. But I'm looking on a map right now at Saudi Arabia and Iran, and they're right across the Persian Gulf from one another. And guess what country joins those two countries? Iraq, the one that we spent lots of time in the past. Oh, and guess what's just adjacent to all this? Israel.
Oh, yes. A bunch of players are, and bunch of chess pieces in that region.
If you go a little northeast, you go to Russia. You're in Russian territory. Yes. If you go a little northwest, you're in fucking European nation, son. You're in the UN. You're in the area where the people don't fuck around, apparently, they say, with their politics and whatnot.
Yeah, and what's sad with, you know, the Middle East being being what I would see as a hot zone is that I've actually wanted to go visit some of those places too, especially like the ancient ruins and stuff too.
Oh yeah.
And the ancient Christian stuff, ancient Jewish, ancient Arab, ancient Canaanite, even Babylon is in Iraq too, by the way. The ruins of Babylon are over there too.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so wild to think,
bro. Yeah, not to mention that some of the biblical figures are buried in that region too. Like, I think Abraham was allegedly buried there, and his wife Sarah, I think. I gotta brush up on that stuff, by the way. And not to mention Syria is home to Damascus, which is one of the oldest cities ever. And, you know, there's like still a civil war going on over there, even though it's just been kind of quiet lately, kind of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but it's pretty much clear because of the Russians, the current Syrian government pretty much has won, so, that civil war, if you think about it, though.
So we were talking about Ukraine and Russia.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Like, mostly, like, right? And we were on a tangent, yes. But all these areas matter because they're simultaneous occurrences. But let's focus back in on Ukraine and Russia.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Something happened recently. And when I say recently, I mean in February 2024, right?
Yes.
Where there was a Tucker interview with Putin, which is fucking wild to think about, that he went and interviewed Putin. Because no one – who does that? Who the fuck does that?
I mean, a lot of people have interviewed Putin. Though what makes Tucker a special case is that he is a bit more sympathetic toward Putin.
Yeah, which is weird.
And kind of hypes him up as...
Which is kind of weird, though.
Yeah.
Because I used to make fun of Tucker Carlson on this podcast so fucking much. And I'm still not afraid to, because I think he's hilarious as a person and as like a public figure. When he was working for Fox News, I always felt like it was crazy because he had that mind control effect about him. The way he would... essentially propagandize the country, especially a certain age group, usually the boomers and whatnot, which is so weird to think about. But he would captivate that class. He would captivate that age range. He would captivate that type of Republican attitude. And it was so powerful to most of them because he would talk in matter of facts, even though he worked for Fox News, who was never about the facts. They're about entertainment. Fox is about entertainment. Why would you have a guy like Tucker if he's so real on a thing other than to entertain, but propagandize Lee in this weird way, entertain a populace to think a certain way about a subject or occurrence that are happening in the world in real time even. And then they let him go for whatever reason, which we know the reason, but they let him go. And now he's doing his own thing, right? He's doing his own podcast type show every day type of thing, right? He's doing says whatever he wants, right? But to go to Russia and interview Putin is cool on one hand because it's like, dang, that's cool. Why not? Why wouldn't you want to interview the person that everyone hates and make sure to see why they're doing what they're doing, right? But on another hand, it's kind of like, are you in cahoots with them? Like, how the fuck did you get that kind of clearance? Like, but maybe it was a genuine journalistic endeavor, right?
Yeah, I mean, Tucker likes to present himself as the real journalist, like, I'm gonna tell you what they don't want to tell you, or
right.
Oh, I'm gonna expose, you know, I'm gonna crash the narrative, you know, break it all down or something.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds kind of like, are you really doing that?
Yeah.
Or are you just saying that? Is that part of your modus operandi?
I mean, there's a good chance he might be what we've talked about, quote unquote, being the useful idiot for the Russians.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I'm sure we all talked about, you know, the useful idiot, like, they spout stuff that might seem interesting, but in reality is being amplified by the, you know, whether it be the Russian government, Chinese government, or, you know, Saudi, Iranian, Israeli, or Ukrainian, they're even useful idiots for the United States, depending on, you know, what side you're on, you know, whether you're on the West or the East side, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, anyone could be a useful idiot or whether willingly or unwillingly for any government, whether it be a Western line government, like, you know, here, or the Eastern line government, like Russia, or over there, too.
Shoot, I could be on this podcast. It could be used as some kind of propaganda. This is what Americans think, but it's like, I'm just one person, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't think I'm that much of an idiot because I don't have that big of a platform, mostly, obviously. But also, even if I were being used as some kind of subject, I'm just being me, you know? But I get what you're saying. Like, if someone was like, hey, he's just being him, but this works for our narrative over here, right? Then it becomes some kind of collaborative effort, and it's very strange.
Yeah.
But anyways, with this interview, what happened with the interview? Like, what was the big scoop?
Okay, you know? So I didn't watch the whole thing. I only saw bits and pieces of it. And basically, it was like a two-hour interview. And basically, what happened was that Tucker asked Putin, okay, so why did you invade Ukraine 2 years ago? And guess what Putin's reply was? Well, back in 400 AD, and yeah, basically he gives Tucker a 30-minute history lesson dating the history of Russia, Ukraine, the whole region, in order to justify why he invaded Ukraine. And if you look at the interview clip there, and he's just explaining, talking, you could tell that Tucker was being bored and annoyed, like looking at him like this the whole time. like all looking bored and annoyed. And even when Tucker tried to interrupt or add something, Putin would kind of add a passive-aggressive insult toward him. Yeah, and yeah, basically it wasn't really anything too big. Although one thing I did notice was he actually pressed Putin about one of our own people being in prison over there too, which I found to be quite surprising, considering that he seems pretty sympathetic toward Putin and stuff and the Russian government and stuff too. So that was pretty surprising that he actually asked him about that too.
Yeah. But were his responses genuine?
Who, Putin's?
Yeah.
By genuine, like, I'm sure it was coming from his mouth, though. Remember, the Russian government does whatever Putin says, though. So you're basically getting, the source of all Russian propaganda, Russian media, like you say. Basically getting the main honcho right here, what he's talking, what he's spitting, toward Tucker.
Right.
Yeah. Like I said, I didn't watch the whole thing. I just saw clips. It looks like he talks about a bunch of different stuff to Putin. Like, asks a bunch of different questions. One of them was Elon Musk and AI and how powerful is Zelensky to him.
But so anyways, like, what is the importance of this interview coinciding with some other issue, right? Like, there's something else that happened, like, during this time frame where the world was talking about the Tucker-Putin interview, right?
Yeah, I mean, other than the current Israeli-Palestinian conflict, which, seems to happen every couple of years, it seems.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but this is more related to Russia. Let me look up his name. I just want to make sure I'm saying his name correctly, or else I'll probably cancel for or something. Let's see. Alexei Navalny, who was a Russian opposition leader, died in prison on February 16th, 2024. So in case you might have heard about Navalny for a couple of years, if you've been following Russian politics or stuff going on in Eastern Europe, he was like the most vocal opposition activist in Russia. Like, he would organize protests against Putin and his party, and he would call them, the party of crooks and thieves, and would organize all these protests, like I said, and he'd get arrested a couple of times for that, and he was even poisoned too. He was beaten up in prison. And he'd be like the poster boy for anti-Putin opposition throughout the world, too. He's even allies here in the United States as well.
Hmm.
And there's even a documentary about him that was on HBO Max.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And he was also against the invasion of Ukraine, obviously too, and
and so he was in opposition.
Yeah, he was the main opposition against Putin over there in Russia. Mm.
So a lot of people liked what he had to say. Yeah, in that country.
Yeah, and you could tell that he was kind of scaring the Russian government, because they would go after him, they would arrest him, throw him in jail, beat him up in jail, would poison him in another country.
Feed him a cock meat sandwich.
Oh, gosh.
That's not funny, but it's probably true.
Yeah. I mean, Russian prisons ain't no flipping joke, I've heard, so.
Yeah, dude. I don't want to fight no Russian dude. I've always said that on this podcast. I'm not trying to fight no Russian guy. Are you crazy? Yeah. They're crazy, son. In a good way, but in a scary way. I'm not trying to fight no fucking Russian dude.
Yeah.
We don't disagree, bro. We're on the same page. I don't understand what's going on. Neither do you. Look at our leaders trying to send us into war against one another. What is this? What are these ploys? What is this ugly war machine that we keep dealing with? You know? But there's a big update on this Ukraine-Russian conflict. And what's the Bain update?
Well, other than Elvani passing away, Well, Ukrainians are having somewhat of a difficult time, last I checked, on the battlefield, fighting against Russian advances, and Russia regained some lost cities and towns.
Like, I kind of low-key always felt like Putin was just playing the long game. It was like, yeah, they'll run out of resources. Yeah, they'll get tired, and I'll win still.
Yeah.
And, like, that's where we're at now, you know? After billions and trillions of dollars that the United States alone sent Ukraine for aid and types and military supplies and bombs and bullets and gear of all types, and they still didn't win, and Putin's still playing the long game and still taking what he wants. You know, it's fucked up.
Yeah.
But it seems like that's really what kind of happened.
And it's going very concerning to the point where you even had, you know, European leaders even floating the idea of sending their own troops to Ukraine, which thankfully was quickly shot down.
Yeah.
Like right here, here's this article I found. This is from the French president, Emmanuel Macron. Macron's Ukraine troop talk shakes NATO allies. And summary, Macron floats idea of West sending troops to Ukraine. His comments spark backlash among allies. French officials say Macron wants to stimulate debate. They say only non-combatant roles are in discussion, so I guess no NATO aligned troops shooting at Russians. Okay, so some allies backblurring red lines for wrong foot Putin. So yeah, basically they're trying to scare the populace into showing, giving more support to Ukraine and whatnot. Oh, flip, that reminds me. Just last, I think around Valentine's week, a Republican senator who is one of the biggest Ukraine advocates leaked an important, a secretive meeting he had with the intelligence agency about a significant national security threat related to Russia. And boy, that sent the whole internet into a panic. You're trying to figure out, oh, what the heck is he talking about? Oh my gosh, what's going on? And let me tell you, I was kind of almost shit in my pants too, because like, oh my God, what does the CIA know that we don't even know here? What are the Russians planning? I know it's the anniversary is coming up, but then later throughout the day, they said, oh, that is not like an urgent threat going on right now. It's just, you know, nothing too serious, don't panic. And it turns out that he was talking about a Russian space weapon that they're thinking about deploying that could take down satellites.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then when you look at the fact that he is one of the biggest Ukraine advocates out there, and he was in Kiev, you know, like a few days before, he used something to scare the populace and even his fellow senators and congressmen and women to passing the new budget bill, which gives aid to Ukraine and Israel and the border, which the border is, you know, what's going on the border is playing a role on why some people don't want that to pass, because, you know, they say, because you have some who think we should focus on our own problems rather than problems over there, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's also an election season too, so you have, you know, people just trying to drum up, you know, fear and anxiety to buy votes or get people to support this or that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, which has a more dangerous ripple effect later down the path too, obviously. Because it can affect so many other things. It doesn't just affect that election cycle. It affects the way that people deal with that afterward and so on, you know?
Mm-hmm. And speaking of elections, Taiwan had an election recently which had some attention because, you know, of tensions between China and Taiwan going on over there too. And I guess the president that Taiwan elected is like super staunch anti-China, pro-Taiwan independence too. There are people who are concerned, oh my gosh, he's going to say something that's going to cause the Chinese to try to take Taiwan, we're going to get involved and whatnot. And believe me, any conflict involving Taiwan and China is bound to have a huge ripple effect, considering that we trade with China and they depend on us for trade and stuff like that. Heck, they even make our own toys too, and our shoes.
Yeah.
Hell, they even make our own flags sometimes.
Yeah, most of the time. It's crazy.
Yeah, crazy world out there, my my guy, crazy stuff going on.
Yeah.
I can only pray that we pull out of this. Well, you know what I mean by pull out, right? We just get out of this current mindset and try to find common ground, you know, try to figure out, you know, what needs to be done.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't pull out, man, you're going to get this whole war machine pregnant, you know. You got to pull out. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Weren't you told, right? Pull out, you know.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, pull out.
Okay? Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is getting kind of gross.
Honestly. I like it.
Yeah, so. Oh yeah, and one more thing before we move on to another topic. It turns out that this year is going to be 10 years since Russia took Crimea and started trespassing to East Ukraine and starting the little skirmishes that would eventually become an invasion.
Right. The Orange Revolution, things like that, right?
I think it was the Revolution of Dignity and then the Little Green Men crossing into Crimea back in 2014, which is now 2024, which is 10 years. Crazy. Wow. Yeah, and during this time, a Ukrainian exchange student was here attending classes when this was happening too, 10 years ago.
Oh, yeah, I remember her.
Yeah.
She would swim.
I think that was somebody else, though, but I'm talking about someone else though that I knew for a while. Though I'm not gonna say her name since
we could get her indicted somehow, bro. Yeah. We can't let them know that we know her. Yeah. I feel like it's critical to her safety.
Yeah, but overall I pray that people get along eventually and stop finding things to fight over and start finding some common ground.
But will they, Brad? Let's be honest. Will they? Will we?
I don't know.
Ask yourself this question. Will you, listener? Will you?
Will we take the path of Star Trek where everyone gets along, even the humans and the aliens get along? Or will we take the path of Warhammer 40K where everyone, including the aliens, hate each other and we're always at war, you know? You know, the tagline of Warhammer 40,000 is, in the grim darkness of the future, there is only war.
Which are we, you know?
Yeah.
Are we somewhere in between? Right?
Yeah.
It's not just so black and white, right?
Yeah, and by the way, Warhammer is also the name of the hobby I've recently gotten into as well, with painting the miniatures and playing the little battles with the miniatures and stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So this hobby, what has it unlocked for you?
Folks, when you're out and about and driving out there on the road, are you ever sketched out that you might like get into an accident or something like that? Because I know I am, and I wouldn't be caught dead out there on the road driving, because I don't know how I'd be driving if I were dead. But if I didn't have insurance, I'd surely be economically dead. And we cannot have that, folks. That's why right now, you're listening to this podcast, you're probably like, damn, I don't have insurance, or I know someone that needs insurance. Maybe you should pick up the phone and call Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance, 559-638-3800. He's going to answer like he did at the beginning of this ad, and he's going to definitely set you up with your needs. If you're not rolling with Alfredo Vargas from Academy West, I don't know. I literally, I don't know who you're insured by, because it ain't Geico in the state of California. That's for damn sure. I personally have been insured through Alfredo over at Academy West Insurance for at least 5 years, and I've had nothing but great outcomes. Even when I bought a new car, he set me up with insurance like that. I didn't even have to wait. These bastards down at the car dealership are all lagging and trying to sell me some other crazy rate and all this stuff. No. Not when I call Alfredo Vargas up. He's like, hey man, check it out. This is what we're gonna do, and here you go. And I'm like, she. So if you're looking for a little she in your life, call up Alfredo, 559-638-3800. Tell him that Tyler Colombaro sent you from the Symbiosis Now Network, and he'll be sure to get you what you need. That's Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West Insurance on West Manning Avenue in Reedley, California. If you want to call him, 559-638-3800, or if you just want to look in the description, all his information's down there, folks. But I do suggest that you do not wait a moment longer to be insured by Alfredo Vargas over at Academy West.
Okay, so a little bit about this hobby that I recently acquired, Warhammer, which is basically, it's been around for years though, and it's became more popular as with other geek stuff, and I've always been interested into the lore, and I played some of the video games based on the tabletop game, but I never touched a tabletop game before, so one day I decided I'm gonna pick up this new hobby, Warhammer. So I choose Warhammer 40K, which, or Warhammer 40,000, which is a science fiction version. Get an introduction set, get it in, and it comes with miniatures of space marines and aliens, or Tyranids, as that specific race is called, along with some paints and instructions on how to build and paint them and how to play the game, and of course advertisements to get more miniatures so you could build like a little army to play against your friends with. And and I noticed when I would like build the miniatures and start painting them, and I felt euphoric and relaxed when I would be painting these little three futuristic soldiers. And then I realized, oh my gosh, this looks very good at the end. And I just realized that I've always had that dog in me. And that dog is being a miniature painter.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I've already posted the Space Marines that I painted on my Instagram if you saw them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and now I found a new hobby that I really like. I mean, there are different ways to enjoy this hobby, by the way. There is a tabletop version where you just get your miniatures, roll dice against a friend, and you have like a little mini war on the table.
Uh-huh.
There's also the model painting and stuff where you just get those miniatures, paint them to whatever you like, and I've seen some beautiful ass miniatures of Warhammer. And there's also the reading portion in which, you know, it's like a huge, there's like a bunch of lore with that universe about a dark future where there's like always fighting out in space and stuff too. It's like pretty interesting, but also very dark and messed up too, especially how it presents the future as like a dark place where there's always war and stuff going on.
Yeah.
Although there's this one alien faction called the orcs, and orcs are basically green skinned aliens that resemble orcs in fantasy settings, and they're supposed to be like the comic relief faction because they talk funny and like butchered cockney accents and stuff if you've played some of the games or read some of the books or anything. Yeah. But still though, the scary part is that those guys start wars for fun, the orcs, and if you're like a human and you've seen an orc, I probably shit my pants right now. Yeah, so going a bit off topic, yeah, so basically I found a new hobby of miniature painting, and I found a new talent. I never knew that I would be actually pretty decent at this, so I'm not the best, I'm so new at this. It seemed as if you could, if you try out something you've never tried before, you might end up being pretty decent at it. And you might have unlocked that dog in you. I mean, have you ever tried out something, Tyler, that you discovered that you didn't know that you were good at or decent at until you tried it?
Yeah, it's kind of like what you're describing. You know, I get it. You find something that you like doing, and you never thought you'd like doing it, but then you like doing it so much that it's deeper than liking doing it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like if we do die and we get to come back, like reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And like, or even if it's not just like that, but in a past life, we could call it, right? What if we always come back to that same love interest, that same career path, mm-hmm. that same thing that we know we've done before almost.
Yeah.
The entire time we've been whoever, whatever we've been.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way with bartending, actually. I feel that way with cocktails. I feel like maybe I was bartender in like the Civil War and all the soldiers had come in. But I was a hobbly old fucker or something. I broke my leg, so I couldn't go fight. Yeah. But I could pour up a mean cocktail, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And all these bros roll in with their rifles, and they sit down, and I just do an Irish coffee real quick on, like, 20 of them. Blah, like that old guy in Las Vegas, you know?
And it looks like you had that dog in you the whole time then.
Yeah, because it makes sense now, you know, how I got where I am. And it makes sense that I care about a craft that I never realized was in deep in my genes almost, you know?
Yeah.
And it's fun because you find some kind of interest. You look forward to the next time you get to craft or paint your thing or make a new drink.
I've had a similar experience to when I started working out about 9 years ago. One day I was bored and I figured, I'm going to lift some weights and go on this little bike. And I started doing it every day, lose weight, gain muscle, and look where I am now.
Yeah, did you wear the biker pants, the little short shorts with the tight booty?
No, I just wore just regular gym shorts I had at the time. But now I started getting interested into fitness as a hobby. Look where I am now.
You're all jacked and shit. Yeah, all flexing jacked on us right now. Wish you guys could see this fool right now, jacked.
Yeah.
Flexing on us.
Yes.
Shout out to Shalom from Save Mart. He's all jacked, too.
Oh, yeah. Hopefully he gets on the podcast one day, too.
Maybe not, though.
Yeah.
If he can outlift me, he can't come on the podcast.
Yeah.
No, just kidding.
And you mentioned the Civil War a couple of minutes ago, right?
Yes, sir.
Speaking of which, I have actually went to a Civil War. Actually, a couple of Civil War historical sites in Tennessee back in June.
Yep. I know. I remember us discussing it on the last time you were on. Mm-hmm. You had said you were about to go to Tennessee and see some wild stuff about the Civil War, all this kind of area of the United States that's really historical. And we said we're going to talk about it the next time you come on. Here we are now, probably 6 months later or something, but we're here to talk about it.
Oh,
I'm here to listen, bro. We're here to listen.
I was anticipating this part of the episode the most, not going to lie, so... So basically, I went on a little vacation to Tennessee around early June, about 2 days after my birthday.
Yeah.
So we were going to, so it was just me and my mom. We went to Tennessee to meet with my aunt and uncle who are actually trying to find land in Tennessee as they're trying to find a place to live so they could eventually move to there from Oregon where they currently live right now.
Gotcha.
They were also wanting to go to a country music festival over there too, so I got to go see that as well. So, and this is the first time I ever flew on a plane, and flying on a plane was kind of nerve-wracking at first, but then once you're in the air, it's actually not a big deal at all, though. It's
until the wing falls off, and all of a sudden you're going down. The little breathing things fall down, and you're like, oh my God, it doesn't even work. This is a joke. And they tell you to put your head down in your lap, but really it's not going to save you because you're going to crash into the side of a fucking mountain, bro. You're not going to live. Someone listening to this podcast right now on a plane is like, holy shit. No, I've flown on a plane 3-4 times, and every time it's kind of wild, but you have no choice but to relax. It's like on a train. The train can derail.
You know
what I mean? In a car, you can get a car crash. You're cruising down the highway.
Or a boat, you could sink or something.
Exactly. So no matter what, there's real worries, right? No matter what.
Yeah.
But plane rides are all right. They're pretty quick.
Yeah.
They make the trip way quicker.
Yeah, not to mention, these pilots know what they're doing. They're all experienced, too, you know?
Yeah, sometimes they're so experienced, and then they eat mushrooms, and they say, I'm going to take this plane down. And then they don't take the plane down. They subdue him, and then someone else lands the plane, like that happened recently. That's some wild shit.
Yeah, so I had to take a plane from Fresno to Phoenix, Arizona, and that's my first time being in Arizona. And I was able to see outside at the Phoenix skyline during the day and the mountains over there, too. And they look pretty cool.
Yeah, it was desert for as far as you could see, or was it buildings as far as you could see?
Some buildings, some mountains that were right in the middle of the city.
Some homeless people.
Didn't see that, though. I'm sure there would be.
Naked people running around?
I was at the airport the whole time. Before the flight to Nashville takes off. And on the way to Nashville, there was a thunderstorm going on, and we had to fly above it a little bit, and it kind of felt the turbulence a couple of times. It got pretty bad.
Lightning bolt strikes the plane, and you all just fry instantly and go down.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it got kind of gloomy, too, but I think it was right above the storm cloud to where we couldn't get struck by lightning or anything.
Right into the Grand Canyon, bro.
Yeah, and I saw some beautiful views, too. And I think this was, like, over Texas or something, I'm guessing. Maybe
the Amarillo sky, bro. Nah, I don't know.
And then I arrive in Tennessee around 10 o'clock Central. Wait. Yeah, I think it's Central time to use over at in Nashville.
P.M.,
yeah, 11 p.m. And it was 8 o'clock over in California when I landed, too. And it was a pretty decent size difference, not gonna lie. And then when we landed, we got to our hotel room, and then that's when the adventure begins. And the first thing we go to is Waffle House.
Waffle House?
Yes, it's a southern breakfast food chain, kind of like Denny's, but better, I should admit.
Yeah, was it good?
Oh, it was bussin'.
Did you get chicken and waffles?
I got waffles, but no chicken. Dude. Yeah, the waffles are pretty good, but the breakfast bowls, especially with the grits and the eggs and the bacon and the hash browns. Oh, that's the first time I had grits too. Amazing Southern comfort food. And very good food. Got to look around, you know, downtown, this part of downtown Nashville called the Broadway District has a bunch of bars and a bunch of concerts going on in every bar at night, especially, like, oh my gosh, it's like a freaking party going on in the Broadway District of downtown Nashville. Yeah, everyone's all festive, all alive over there. Not to mention that Nashville itself is indeed an historic city. Like, I saw a couple of historic buildings, like this old school building that's still being used, this church that's, you know, there, and several other pretty cool historical sites too, which I'll be getting into very soon. And later that night, I went to my very first country concert, actually a country music festival, and I saw country artists like Jason Aldean, John Party, you know, all of these guys that I don't really listen to as much, but hey, I still had a good time, drank some beer during that too.
That's what's up.
Yeah. And then the next day, there was a storm.
Hold on a second. Listener, you can hear whoever's like doing some yard work, but what the fuck are they doing? They're like blowing, but they're like, meow, meow,
meow. Oh, yeah, like,
what the
fuck
are they doing, man?
I could kind of hear that too,
man. They're like, I got my first chainsaw. And it's not a chainsaw, it's a fucking blower. But yeah. God damn it, shut that thing off right now. We're trying to do a podcast. What
yeah,
are you thinking?
I'm trying to, you know, talk about my trip to Tennessee. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, You also got to go see the Jack Daniels facility, no?
Oh, yeah, that's on day three. So, day two,
yeah.
I go to the CMA Fest, which was a country music festival. They were having a little convention going on at the Nashville Convention Center, and I heard some photos of me with a guitar posing right here.
You look all jacked in your freaking tank top with a big old mustache. That's what's up.
Yeah,
bro.
I also got a couple of compliments for my mustache too over in Tennessee.
I bet they're like, "Hey, son, you don't look like you're from California."
Yeah, I was actually kind of concerned that, you know, if they find out I'm from California, they might give me a dirty look. But they're actually super friendly to everybody.
I bet, though, honestly.
You know, Southern hospitality, as they call it, super friendly vibe over there too. And then this picture right here, I love Nash. It's at the farmer's market over there, and it started to storm over there, believe it or not. Like, there's a thunderstorm going on over there that day, too. And
Tennessee tornado.
Oh, I was concerned about the possibility of a tornado, but thank God a tornado didn't happen, or else I would have been scared shitless.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
you need some new shorts, and you're like, fuck, I already went through all my pairs of underwear on my trip. I don't have any more, and I just shit my pants. Yeah. Guess I gotta go commando the rest of my trip.
Yeah. And the day after that, we went to the Jack Daniel Distillery in Lynchburg, Tennessee, which is a bit farther out in the rural Tennessee area.
In Lynchburg, where they lynched all the people.
Yeah, I was actually kind of concerned about where that name came from, not gonna lie.
You're lucky you didn't get lynched out there, sonny.
Yeah, considering the history of the South.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and
sketch.
Yeah, and the Jack Daniel Distillery was a pretty cool place. They also sampled, you know, whiskey as well, even the different types of whiskey.
Attaboy, that's what's up.
Yeah, even had a Coke and Jack slush over there, too. Bussin', 10 out of 10.
Honestly, we might bring that to the Wake House this summer because we got slush machines, big dog.
Snap, that's awesome. That would be
good. It's not a bad idea. Honestly, it's not a bad idea. A little Jack and Coke slush.
Yeah, and like I said, it was a pretty cool historic site, too, because that place has been around since the late 1800s, you know, after the Civil War ended and stuff.
Yeah.
And I also got to see how whiskey was made, even saw some of the employees packing whiskey bottles and stuff.
Yeah.
And then when I told them I'm from California, they're like, oh, yeah, California buys most of our stuff, by the way, so... Yeah, basically, Californians really love Jack Daniel whiskey for some reason.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, and then I got...
I prefer Jameson. What's up? You gonna fight me over it? I prefer Michter's. Michter's bourbon. Far superior to Jack Daniel's with Tennessee whiskey.
Oh,
but man. We're talking about Jack Daniel's right now. We're talking about the place. So overall, cool spot. Good times.
Yeah, good times.
Recommend? You do you recommend?
Oh, yeah. I recommend if you ever visit Tennessee, check this joint out. It's
pretty cool. Yeah, they got all the old cars from them running booze back in the Dizzy.
Yeah.
Oh, they got all the tasters. They got the freaking flight boards. Ooh.
Yeah, and after touring, we went to this barbecue joint in Lynchburg, which is a little town right here, you see.
Yeah, it looks very racist.
Yeah.
Even the signs, even the brick buildings. Moon Pie store. Ooh.
Yeah, because Moon Pie is from Tennessee.
That's so
particularly
cool.
Chattanooga, but there's a bunch of Moon Pie shops
that's
over there.
Interesting.
Yeah, and believe it or not, I actually saw some. Turns out a bunch of famous people have visited at the barbecue place in Lynchburg, too, especially one of the former prime ministers of Czechoslovakia, I think, visited the barbecue place over there too for some reason.
Hmm.
Out of the clear blue. And I even saw patches from the Visalia, Fresno PD up there too. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, a valley has followed me over here to Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Like a bunch, that's like a tourist trap despite it being a small town, you know?
Because of the booze, yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Makes sense.
Yeah, it was a very pretty interesting trip. And another thing too is that the countryside of Tennessee is, like, very nice to look at, too. Yeah, and, oh, here's a barbecue joint, the picture of it.
Looks like a shithole. No, I'm just kidding. Looks cool. Looks like a classic barbecue spot.
Yeah, and you see all these patches from, like, different EMTs and PDs and...
Patches of Houlihan, bro.
Yeah, patches from, like, different parts of the country and even the world, too.
Wow.
Like I said, I saw, like, a Fresno PD and a Vassal PD patch up there as well. Then, day four, go to some Civil War sites right there. This is a fort. This is Shise Hill, which was a major site of the Battle of Nashville.
This looks like a grass field.
Yeah.
But nothing has died on it since.
Yeah, some photos here, too, of how the Battle of Nashville ended. This is where the Battle of Nashville had a turning point where the Union defeated the Confederacy and Nashville came back into Union control. This was an American victory against the Confederates right here. Yeah, it's pretty cool because I used to study the Civil War back in eighth grade, you know, always been interested in it, and it was pretty cool as a historian to finally visit these sites of this conflict that I learned about back then too.
Oh, yeah. It's super interesting. That era is super interesting. On the history lessons from the Lore Master, we got to cover the Civil War.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, not to mention...
So stay tuned for that episode with me and Brad, for sure.
Yeah, not to mention that that Tennessee was one of the bloodiest states during the Civil War that saw the most battles. Like, there was, like, a fight in almost every town and city back then over there.
So did you get to go LARP and dress up like a Civil War a Yankee or some shit?
No.
Hello, you history buff you, and welcome to History Lessons from the Lore Master, an audio podcast created by the Symbiosis Now Network. I am Tyler Colombaro, and I am a co-host of this show. The other co-host would be the Lore Master himself, Brad Gonzalez, who has his bachelor's degree in history through Fresno State University. He knows his geography, he knows his facts, and he knows his history. Whereas I, on the other hand, am more of a history hobbyist. I enjoy learning about the past, and I like asking many, many questions. Here on History Lessons from the Lore Master, we plan to educate the listener on historic events and learn together about how humanity has gotten to where we are today. Because there is a lot to learn from history, folks. It has been said that history repeats itself. It is critical that we know what has happened in the past, so we do not create the same mistakes that we may have. So round up all the history homies and stay tuned as we receive History Lessons from the Lore Master.
But I did see some old artifacts at another site, Fort Negley, which was built by Union forces after Nashville was captured. So this is a former American fort, you know, after the Battle of Nashville.
Just hella rocks concreted together. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. It looks like a castle, like it's got covered with dirt. Mm-hmm. It's like a fortress. Also come take it back. I dare you.
Also saw some cool artifacts, like bull, like, what are those balls called in muskets? I forget.
Yeah, those little musket balls.
And cannonballs.
Yo, those are little glass bottles?
Yeah.
For like booze or medicine?
Medicine bottles, yes.
Oh. So booze, basically.
Yeah, you also got this cannonball right here that would freaking wreck a soldier's legs or freaking split them in
two. Dude, imagine just like being like, we're gonna fuck those York Yankees up, and all of a sudden just doof, a cannonball hits you in the fucking chest and goes right through you.
Yeah.
And you just fall to the ground dead.
Yeah, it was a pretty immersive experience to visit these sites, you know, of a historical time period.
I bet.
When one of the most bloodiest battles in American history, bloodiest conflicts in American history, too. And this is the Nashville skyline from the fort right here, too. Can't imagine how this would look like at night, though, but you can't go to the fort at night for some reason. And there's me, posing.
Once again, Brad looking all buff with a tank top in the middle of the field.
And then later that night, we go back to the Broadway District in downtown Nashville and look. Very lit up.
Oh, yeah. It looks like a party spot, bro. The Jason Aldean bar. Yeah, dude. Rooftop bar.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, Kid Rock even has a bar over there, too. There's even a Johnny Cash Museum.
A bunch of Bud Light cans all busted outside.
Yeah, Luke Bryan bar. Oh, I think that's the Johnny Cash Museum back there in a pizza joint. Oh, this is Kid Rock's Honky Tonk Bar right here. There's like a concert going on in almost every damn bar every night over
there.
That's
what's up, though. That's a good time.
It's like a party and a concert going on, too. Like, it was, like, lively and people getting drunk, jamming out to music. Ooh, there's also a bowling alley and a bar, too.
Ooh, barbecue spots.
There's a Hard Rock Cafe next to what they call the Batman building because, you know, the building looks like Batman for some reason. And there's also the Taco Bell Cantina. It's one of the Taco Bell that sells alcohol.
Oh.
I actually tried to go in there during that night, and they're like, oh, sorry, we're only allowing DoorDash and Grubhub delivery people right now. I'm sorry. It's like,
cool. You got 86? What the fuck?
Yeah, it was pretty wild. Also had a few drinks there, too.
Looks like Vegas.
Yeah, it's like it's like the Vegas of the South, kind of, except without the casinos.
Yeah. But lots of whiskey.
Yeah, and it was a fun-as-shit trip, by the way. So after that, I fly home, and one of the places I stopped... Oh, yeah, before that, here are some more photos I took. It's like a church, like a very old church back in Nashville. I think that's a library, actually.
Honestly, it looks like Dracula's castle or some shit.
Oh.
This building you're showing me.
That's the rural Tennessee, you know, on the way to Lynchburg and the distillery. And this is the view from my hotel room. If you could see the state capitol right there, state capitol building.
Is this Andrew Jackson's joint?
Oh, yeah. I never got to visit his mansion, though, unfortunately. But maybe next time I will, though.
Oh, so. My gosh. That guy was crazy.
Yeah, he was a wild-ass leader, I should say. And this is the Bluebird Cafe from that one movie.
The Bluebird Cafe.
Yeah. I forget what movie it's on. So, yeah. There's a Nashville guitar sign. The Grand Ole Opry entrance. The Grand Ole Opry, which, you know, a lot of country stars get their start from.
Yeah.
I think Taylor Swift started there, too.
I heard the Grand Ole Opry ain't so grand anymore.
I mean, it's an old-ass building, I should say.
No. Yeah, dude, for real. It's been OG. It's OG in the country game.
Yeah. And then on the flight home, we had a layover in Denver, Colorado, which means I was at the infamous Denver International Airport for a couple hours.
Yeah, you got some weed outside real quick?
Nah. I mean, Denver International Airport is like the size of a city, kind of, and it's outside of Denver a little bit. Like, you see the Denver skyline.
Oh, yeah, I bet, though.
Yeah. And
it's
not
a huge stopping point.
Yeah, right not now. To mention that Denver International Airport is actually a lightning rod for many conspiracies, because there are people who think that the rich and powerful have built an underground city under there to take refuge in whenever something bad happens.
Yeah, but Colorado's pretty gnarly, bro. Like, yeah. It's snowy, is it not?
Oh, yeah, there is still snow on the Rocky Mountains.
I could conceive of them going to the equator, though, during some kind of weird event in the world. But I could also conceive there being a bunker in the center of the country, for sure.
Yeah.
For those that are elitist and want to survive when they don't want the little guys down here to survive, if something like that would happen. But if for them to catch wind, imagine if that's a real thing, for the elites, quote unquote, to get, like, information ahead of something occurring and then to make it there in time before the catastrophe happens would be a conspiracy without a doubt, because they'd have some insight.
Yeah.
But is that what, you know, how would they get for sure information of something like that, you know? And what if it's not going to affect you, and then you guys all fly to this bunker and you're all in there for 3 days and nothing even happens, and then you go like, all right, I guess we're going home now, nothing happened, false alarm, kids. And then they go back to school, and they're like, hey, where were you for the last 3 days? And they're just like, you know, like, I don't know. We had to go to the underground bunker just in case. Yeah. They were saying that there was going to be a nuclear threat across the country. And
yeah.
We went to our bunker where you guys don't get to go.
Yeah.
Because you guys are losers! Losers!
Yeah, and then after Denver, back to Fresno. That ends my vacation to Tennessee. And overall, I really loved being in Tennessee, even though it felt kind of sticky there because, you know, southern air, you know, the air quality and humid, but it was still a good time. Got to learn some new things about, you know, some of the history over there, and also met some pretty nice people. And, you know, a lot of people have this impression that, understandable impression of the South because, you know, because of the South history being pretty damn racist and being the part of the Confederacy back then, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, but then when you actually go visit and actually spoke and interact with some of the regular Tennesseans, and they were some of the nicest people you ever meet, too, and they're, like, so chill.
I would, too, if I had a nice Jack and Coke in my hand, chilling all day long. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. Hey, when you flew back to Fresno, though, when you got out of the plane, did it stink? Did it smell like meth and smog?
I don't recall that.
Yeah, it just was felt like home.
Yeah, it just felt like home, sweet home in the
Central Valley. Yeah, baby. Meth, smoke, and smog. Yes, sir. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I'd recommend anybody take a trip to another part of the country, even a part of the world one day, to learn about, you know, different people. And you will see that despite, you know, despite the media and these grifters trying to sow division between nationalities and ethnicities, there is still some good human beings out there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like I said, you know, a lot of people have this impression about the South, including Tennessee, of being, you know, backward, racist, you know, a bunch of, you know, hillbillies because of some history, which is understandable, though. But then when you go over and interact with some regular people, they're actually not that. They're actually very kind and nice people.
Yeah, they're not all cousin fuckers. Yeah. I get it. I feel you.
Yeah, and that's one thing I like about, you know, visiting different parts of the state even, too. Like, there's, like, I know Californians have their own stereotypes depending on what part of the state you're in. Like, you know, whether it be L.A., the coast, the mountains, north side, or anything, you know. Too, yeah. I mean, despite all of these, you know, one thing I've learned is that while there are some stereotypes and, you know, different, you know, impressions based on the history or current events, you got to take a look at a regular person and you'll learn that that person isn't what, you know, what the media or whoever is trying to portray them out to be.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
I agree.
That's one thing I hope everybody learns one day, you know, that, you know, you know what I mean. Just, you know, just reach out to somebody. Maybe they'll be the nicest person you'll ever meet.
Yeah.
Or maybe the meanest person you'll ever
meet. Yeah, but you never know until you try.
Yeah. Yeah, and I recommend, you know, anybody who's into history or into Southern cuisine. Oh, my gosh. I love the food over there in Tennessee. Southern cuisine's bomb, even though everything's fried. Yeah, go check out, you know, Tennessee and the South, too. Oh, and before anyone asks, I did not go to Memphis or Graceland or Dollywood, because that's, like, on different ends of the state, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I wish you visit Dollywood and Graceland, you know, where Elvis Presley lived.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, by the way, Dollywood is Dolly Parton's version of Disneyland. So, yeah, it's a theme park over there. So.
Right.
Yeah, so Tennessee was a pretty interesting experience, like a very different experience from when during my trips to Oregon and Washington years ago.
Mm-hmm. More history.
Yeah, a lot of history.
More right in your face history.
Yeah, different
cultural applications. Yeah, that are very prevalent.
Yes, different culture, different history, you know, all a unique experience in their own right.
Yes.
Now, I wonder how it must feel like for somebody who's from another state to visit California, too.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you got to share with what the fuck you did over there, bro, and what you got to do and go see. Yeah. And honestly, like, it's all very historical, and that's what you and I have a bond over, too.
Mm-hmm.
So tell the people, what do they need to listen to? They need to listen to what's the podcast that you and I have called?
History Lessons with the Law Master.
That's right, the Law Master. And that's you. You're the Lore Master.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you guys got to go check out our three episodes that we have out currently. We're going to have a lot more to come.
Oh, yeah.
We're not stopping this train. Yeah, this train is smoking. Choo, choo.
Yeah, smoking like a cigar, you know?
Choo, choo. Yeah, dude. We're rolling. So go check those episodes out. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Brad, we're so grateful to have you on the Symbiosis Now podcast yet again.
Yes, thank you. It was nice to talk about Kurt and Vance, my new hobby, my trip to Tennessee. Yeah, I hope to talk about some more stuff eventually, but now I gotta come up with something for the next history lesson.
Yeah, what will it be? Write in, folks. Let us know what we need to cover on History Lessons from the Lore Master.
Yes, just say what you want to hear about, and I'll research it really quick. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Symbiosis Now. It was great to be back. Love talking again. Hope I'll be back again. But now, catch me on History Lessons with the Lore Master himself.
That's right, baby. Check it out. This podcast was created through the Symbiosis Now Network and can be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever the hell else you get your podcasts. And while you're out there exploring the other podcasts that this network creates, be sure to follow the network on Instagram at symbiosis.now.network, where we post lots of clips and highlights. And be sure to tune in to the Symbiosis Now podcast, the Cali Ag podcast, as well as History Lessons from the Lore Master. And be sure to tell your friends about the Symbiosis Now Network.